Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, June 27th, 2016. I'm Lee Robertus in the news tonight. Seattle police contract and negotiations include provisions undermining accountability. Governor Inslee calls for moratorium on oil trains. Moscow Food Co-op to hold meeting on proposed bylaw changes tonight. And Lewiston Republican legislative candidates report big campaign debt. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robertus, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The proposed 80-page revision of the Seattle Police Department's labor contract will only allow the city's Office of Professional Responsibility to hire civilians to intake complaints against police brutality if the civilian has 10 years of sworn experience, limiting the oversight to former or current police. That's one of the proposed changes reported by the Stranger newspaper negotiated in behind-the-scenes contract talks. The changes are expected to be touted as an improvement for police oversight in a city that has experienced an epidemic of police brutality and racial profiling by police. Currently, the Office of Professional Responsibility only allows current police officers to intake or investigate police brutality cases. The proposed change only applies to intaking new cases and not to investigations. Another proposal would change the three-person disciplinary review board from a tribunal consisting of two police officers and one arbitrator to a one-person arbitrator selected case by case from a rotating list of professional labor arbitrators. The Stranger reports the proposed draft contract opens disciplinary hearings only to members of the Community Police Commission and a single citizen observer that would be appointed by the mayor. The paper quoted Seattle Police Officer Guild President Ron Smith 2 years ago saying he would be fine opening disciplinary review board hearings to the public. The Police Guild has been negotiating the proposed contract with city officials for the last year and a half. Seattle Police will be asked to vote on a version of the proposed contract in the coming weeks. Campaign Zero co-founder Sam Sinyangwe commented on the documents the Stranger gave him about the proposed contract in Seattle. The New York-based Campaign Zero was formed as an outgrowth to the Black Lives Matter movement. Sinyangwe said the proposed contract contains, quote, many provisions that undermine accountability and are simply not present in many cities' contracts. Speaking of the Office of Professional Accountability Investigations, he said the statute of limitations on investigations allowing discipline to be challenged through arbitration, erasing records of written reprimands, etc. At least 9 of the 100 largest U.S. cities' contracts have none of these types of provisions, and many more have fewer of these provisions than Seattle. Sinyangwe said some of the cities that have none of the provisions are Dallas, Denver, Fresno, and Nashville. Seattle police are operating under a U.S. Justice Department consent decree, which was part of an effort to reform the often violent Seattle Police Department. Meanwhile, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray said he may hire a private investigator or get the FBI to investigate who leaked documents on the police contract negotiations to the Stranger. Murray released a statement Thursday saying, the collective bargaining process is a sacrosanct part of both our democratic system and the progressive movement. I'm shocked to learn that some who call themselves progressives in our city are willing to sacrifice the integrity of this process for a perceived political gain. I would expect this from the far right in Wisconsin, not the left in Seattle. The city is exploring several law enforcement options, including hiring an independent investigator to identify the responsible party. The city is also in discussions about the investigation with the FBI. The Seattle Police Officers Guild called the story "Inside the City's Negotiations with the Police Union" an outrageous breach of a confidentiality agreement. Two Lewiston Republicans hoping to take District 6 legislative seats held by Democrats this year have reported large campaign debts carried over from previous campaigns. Former Republican State Representative Thyra Stevenson reports $70,800 in campaign debt in post-primary financial disclosure reports posted on the Idaho Secretary of State website. Stevenson is facing Lewiston City Councilmember and Democrat Bob Blakey in the November election. Stevenson lost by a handful of votes to Democrat Dan Rudolph in 2014, who is not running for re-election because he is moving out of the district. Republican Mike Kinsley is taking on Democrat House Minority Leader John Rushi in this fall's election. Rushi is also from Lewiston. Kingsley reported $29,900 in carried over campaign debt and $3,566 in cash on hand. Rushi reported no debt and $52,300 in cash on hand. District 6 includes Nez Perce and Lewis counties. In District 5, which includes Latah and Benoit counties, Republican Representative Carolyn Troy of Genesee reported having $13,500 in carried-over debt. Troy, who has served one two-year term, reported $20,800 in cash on hand. She has raised $25,400 since January 1st. Her Democratic opponent, Lorene Sorensen of Moscow, reports $2,376 in cash on hand and $4,243 in contributions this calendar year. There is no campaign financial data on the Secretary of State's website for the independent in the race, Ken DeVries of St. Mary's. DeVries ran as a Republican two terms ago against Democrat Shirley Ringo of Moscow. The Washington Facility Site Evaluation Council began hearing testimony today in Vancouver on a $120 million oil by rail terminal proposed by two oil companies for the southwestern Washington city across the Columbia River from Portland. The council is expected to hear testimony from dozens of experts and witnesses over the next 5 weeks and will make a recommendation to Governor Jay Inslee on the proposed terminal at Vancouver. Inslee has the final say over whether the terminal will be built. Tesoro and Savage want to transfer 360,000 gallons of crude oil per day to ocean-going barges at the proposed facility. The hearing comes weeks after a westbound oil train carrying Bakken crude derailed in the Columbia Gorge, 60 miles east of Portland, causing cars to catch fire and releasing oil into the environment. The fire chief of the small town of Mosier, Oregon, where the derailment took place, said a major disaster was averted by the lack of the usual winds through that part of the gorge on the day of the derailment and by the fact none of the cars which caught fire exploded. Vancouver Energy, which is the name of the corporation formed by Tesoro and Savage to build the terminal, will try to show the risk of oil spills or accidents due to the terminal is small and will also argue there are economic benefits to opening a new oil terminal. Most of the oil going to the terminal is expected to arrive from the North Dakota Bakken oil fields via railroad lines running through downtown Sandpoint and Spokane and then running through the Columbia Gorge. Assistant Attorney General Matthew Kernut, who was appointed to represent the public interest, wrote in papers submitted to the Site Evaluation Council, "Oil trains moving across Washington or close to the Columbia River present a continuing risk of significant environmental impacts and harm." Kernut wrote, "A worst-case oil spill could impact the Columbia River for years and cause the loss of salmon, birds, and other natural resources." Vancouver City Attorney submitted a brief which said, "Tesoro's proposal constitutes a clear and present threat to human life and health." The brief said the Washington Facility Site Evaluation Council, quote, simply has no ability to ensure the safety of Vancouver's citizens while the equivalent of 1,667 tanker trucks of volatile crude oil per day move into and out of the heart of the fourth largest city in Washington. Representatives of the Yakima Tribe and the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation are expected to argue the project violates fishing rights under treaties with the federal government because of the potential for an oil spill. Meanwhile, in reaction to the June 3rd derailment and oil spill in Oregon, Washington Governor Jay Inslee Friday called on the federal government to impose a moratorium on oil trains running through Washington. Inslee said in a statement, "I'm not interested in symbolic measures. It is unclear at this point whether the Federal Railroad Administration has the authority to order a stop to unsafe oil train transport, but they committed to looking into what they can do and will revisit what can be done to halt Union Pacific's Bakken oil train transport until necessary safety improvements are made." Unquote. Meanwhile, Spokane City Council members will hold a forum tonight to discuss a proposed ballot measure for the city requiring increased safety measures for oil trains moving through Spokane. The Moscow Food Co-op Board of Directors will hold a forum on proposed changes to the organization's bylaws tonight at the 1912 Center. A statement on the co-op website says the forum will give background information on the bylaw revision process with a timeline for moving forward. The forum will include a review of each of the proposed bylaw changes and a comparison with the current bylaws. Moscow Food Co-op Education and Outreach Coordinator Misty Amarina told KRFP's Peace Radio program yesterday afternoon, most of the proposed bylaw changes concern compliance with federal laws and Idaho code and allowing the organization to function across state lines if it opens a new store in Pullman, the latter of which is in the planning stages. The co-op has 7,400 owners, formerly called members, who will be able to vote on bylaws changes in an election. The co-op board has not yet scheduled an election, but says it would like to hold one later this year. Tonight's meeting will take place in the Fisk Room of the 1912 Center at 412 East 3rd Street in Moscow from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. A second bylaw forum is scheduled for Monday, July 18th at Paradise Creek Brewery in Pullman. That forum will include addressing questions from members regarding bylaws revisions and discuss any changes to the proposed bylaws since tonight's forum. PDFs of the current and proposed bylaws are available on the Moscow Food Co-op website. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms tonight, 20% chance of precipitation. Some storms could produce gusty winds, otherwise partly cloudy, low 58. Mostly clear skies through Saturday with highs around 90 tomorrow and Wednesday, 88 Thursday and Friday, and 79 on Saturday, lows in the upper 50s, except Friday night around 54. Currently fair skies, 87 degrees at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. And at 7:30, our weekly talk show, Monday nights at 7:30, called What's Left. Music begins at 9 o'clock with Phil and Al's Old Time Liberal Revival and Burn Dance. No, actually, that's Phil and Al's other show. His show on Monday nights is called Moscow Live. Includes recordings of bands playing around Moscow. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are available on the KRFP website for download or streaming shortly after broadcast. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.